far be in. Or you can call in your debit or credit card number. But whatever case gets in there, every $100 that you donate, you can win a book from John Stadtmuller's library. And the final drawing will be this Thursday night, I do believe. So get money in. Also, if you want to donate to my GoFundMe to help me raise money to build the work truck, that information is in the show script. Also have a Cash App. And you can email me at patrickandjeremyshow@yahoo.com. For RBN, you can mail that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call it in at 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is your Tuesday night broadcast. You know the caliber of the guest on Tuesday nights.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Joining me here this second week of the new year from the underground caverns in Burbank, the Batcave, Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. It's good to be here.
Yes.
Here in the underground Batcave.
Right, right. Have you been out fighting crime today?
Oh, I have been out fighting crime. Have I been out fighting crime? Oh, yeah. You'll find that there was a substantial reduction in crime today. That's what you'll find.
I think I saw that drop on the graph. I pulled up the crime graph.
Yeah, on the back computer. Yeah. There was a back computer, you know.
I remember that.
That thing was huge.
They can fit it in their pocket now.
It's funny. No, the back computer was enormous. It had giant reel-to-reel tapes going across it, and that was enormous. Which computers were enormous back in those days. I remember going into my dad's office, and there was a giant computer. It took up half of a room. It was enormous, and it had a giant reel-to-reel, and there were punch cards everywhere. That's how they were.
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
That's beyond belief. Computers are that big. They say that all the computers in NASA would, like one modern cell phone could do that type of computing power.
Oh, way better, way better.
Yeah, that filled a room in NASA. So,
all right.
We've got a little prep here. We're just going to get with it. Did you hear Baked Alaska got 2 months?
Yeah, so I saw that. And I had seen, I think Baked Alaska, I won't say he tweeted because I don't know if he's on Twitter, but he somehow released a statement linked to, there's that famous video of Ray Epps where Ray Epps is saying the day before January 6th, he was saying, we've got to go into the Capitol. And then somebody started chanting Fed, 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 and the rest of the crowd started chanting Fed, Fed, Fed. I think the person who started that chant of Fed, 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 I think the person that was arguing with Ray Epps was Baked Alaska.
Yeah, he does have a Twitter. He posted that. I got okay. The Stormer covered a couple of his tweets. So yeah, he says he got 60 days in jail. I guess since in the last 2 years, he was awaiting his final trial, and he is on the terrorist list. Every time he flies, there has to be special precautions taken, because if he's on the aircraft, they have to do all these special precautions because he's on some sort of a terrorist list. When really he got a misdemeanor. Was not a felony.
And you know, Baked Alaska's thing is to just go around live streaming everywhere. I've run into him once, and he was live streaming. he was live streaming that day, and he walked into the Capitol live streaming, and Andrew Anglin, or actually, I guess it was one of Andrew Anglin's writers who posted the article that we looked at, I think, but was making the point that the did any mainstream people go in to the Capitol? I'm not sure, but certainly John Sullivan went into the Capitol, the Antifa Black Lives Matter guy. And while I'm not going to say he didn't get into any trouble, he's not going to be spending 60 days in prison. And he was there filming Ashley Babbitt getting shot. He was right there. He was right there. In fact, he was shouting. What was he shouting at the time? It was something like she's breaking the window or something like that. He was shouting something about what was going on. It was very, very strange.
Yeah, that's really all Baked Alaska did was film. He live streamed it. Really, he did like he was like a journalist. And yeah, there were mainstream journalists that went inside and filmed the people because it was all over, you know, CNN and all the different news networks. Here's my thing. I thought maybe Baked Alaska was a federal informant when I first heard about this. But he got time. He got 2 months. And you know who didn't get time? I've never heard any coverage of the people breaking the windows. You can see that footage where Ashley Babbitt snuck through the window that was already broken.
Mm-hmm.
There are people. There are big men like breaking the windows. So first of all, the Capitol Police didn't shoot at them. They shot at that her, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to shoot at someone, you think you would shoot at, you know, a man with a deadly weapon busting through the window. But secondly, none of them got arrested. I haven't heard. There's no footage of any of these men that broke the windows getting arrested. That's interesting.
Yeah, there is some good footage. I'm not sure who put it together. Somebody put together. There were four different cameras that were there when Ashley Babbitt got shot. And there was footage that was posted on YouTube from four different vantage points. And John Sullivan's blonde girlfriend was one of the camera people. And then there were three other people who started filming. And somebody, it might have been Masako Gahana. What's her name? Ganaha? There's a... like a YouTube journalist from Okinawa, Japan. And I think she put together this. So you could see from four different vantage points. Maybe she didn't put it together, but maybe she did a video using that footage. So you had the incident with the footage was synced up. So you had four screens in one window, right? Like four video feeds on one video that you're seeing simultaneously. So you're seeing the events from four different angles, and they're all synced up. And so there was a large guy and a smaller guy who were breaking the windows. The large guy had some sort of, what did he have? Like some sort of club or something. The smaller guy, who seemed a little bit more aggressive, was wearing like some sort of helmet. And he took off the helmet. He was using the helmet to smash through the windows. Now, he smashed through the windows. And then Ashley Babbitt, who's small, maybe 5 feet tall, was climbing through. She was in the process of climbing through. She got shot. John Sullivan was yelling about this the whole time things were going on. And the guy who had the helmet... you could see in at least in one of these streams that he took his helmet, he walked over to like a couple steps down this flight of steps, because this door that was where the window was broken, this door was at the top of a flight of steps, and then the doorway was going to, was it going to a hallway or a lobby or something? And he had a backpack there, and he took some stuff out of the backpack, changed his hat. There was a Capitol policeman. There were Capitol policemen who were walking up and down the steps, or, you know, jogging, running up and down the steps as he was doing it. He did this in plain sight of Capitol policemen, and then he left.
Yep.
So that was really, really odd. I've never heard anything about, and you could see his face. So I've never heard about him being doxxed. Revolver.news a year or so ago had a pretty good write-up on a lot of the people, including Ray Epps, who were directing events from outside of the Capitol. But I haven't seen this guy being doxxed, or the other, you know, the taller person who was also breaking the windows. So, you know, that whole thing is just very, very odd. I know I've been talking a while about it, but I'll just leave it at that.
That's fine. Last night I covered the incident in Brazil, the storming over the weekend, and they have their own Brazilian bull shaman. Did you see that?
Bull Shannon? What's Bull Shannon a reference to?
You know, the Q shaman? That was inside of the U.S. Capitol, the bull headdress and painted like white, red, white, and blue. Brazil had their own bull shaman. He had the Brazilian capital colors.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? That was really weird. I was drawing a parallel to the storming in Brazil and the storming to the U.S. Capitol.
Well,
even the one in Brazil is much more intense.
Yeah, the one in Brazil, because it's not just the legislative building, it's also the Supreme Court, it's also executive buildings, I think even the presidential palace. So that's much bigger in scale, and I guess it's gone on longer than just a few hours, because what happened on Capitol Hill was just a few hours. Tucker Carlson had some guests from Brazil who was saying that there were agent provocateurs that were leading the violence. And of course, these demonstrations have been going on, you know, much more than Stop the Steal. These demonstrations have been going on pretty continuously since the disputed election. Now, one thing is, here's one thing that you can say for sure, that over my lifetime, the American government has often doubted the integrity of elections in foreign countries, including Brazil, right? So the idea that in an election that had such close results, or the results were very, very close, that in such an election that it's the idea that it would be impossible that fraud or cheating could play a significant role. I mean, that's ridiculous. It could have. And of course, they were the Bolsonaro people are complaining about the electronic voting machines. And, you know, the idea that people aren't able, the people who are not able to count votes, people who are not able to count should have some sort of democracy is kind of ridiculous. I mean, either you're capable of self-government, either you're able to count, let me put it this way, either you're able to count or you're not capable of self-government, right? And so you shouldn't have electronic voting machines, you shouldn't have electronic counting machines. That's just ridiculous. I'll leave it at that.
So, I mean, I would say it would be, in this case, the CIA that would infiltrate this incident in Brazil, that they had agents there. Because just the bull shaman thing, that was just too coincidental. It's too in your face. And the way that, you know, this thing happened in Brazil, I think that our U.S. government definitely participated in that incident over the weekend. and egged it on.
I don't know what happened. It's possible. There's two things I will say. One is, while I'm pretty sure I would have voted for Bolsonaro, and there's some positive things that can be said about him. You know, he's still a Zionist and all of that. And then the other thing is, I think Lula is a lot better than Joe Biden. You know, there's a lot of complaints you can make about Lula, but, you know, he was president before, and when he was president before, I think he was one of the founders of this BRICS, you know, Brazil, China, or what is it, Brazil, Russia, India, China grouping that is becoming important as a counterbalance to these Jewish-dominated institutions like the IMF and the World Bank and whatnot. And in the current Ukraine conflict, he's not super pro-Ukrainian. I think he is. I think he's been critical of NATO. So, I mean, whatever. It's not my country. I have a lot more sympathy for Bolsonaro, but I don't have a lot of expertise in the area, and so I'm not going to say a whole lot more about it.
Let's take this break. We'll cover some Russia-Ukraine stuff.
Consider this.
Sorry.
Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shine. Shout out where you'll be.
I can't believe it's 23 already. I don't know where 22 is. We're going to work on that new commercial. Put it together. Wow. Let's cover what's going on with the Ukraine stuff. I got this article. RT Macron speaks of Putin paradox. Russian president restore the empire. President Vladimir is not a pleasant man, according to Emmanuel Macron.
Yeah, and be careful about how you're holding the mic, because we're not always getting the best sound quality.
Yeah, I've been getting that a lot lately. I haven't had enough fundage to upgrade yet. I've had a lot of good donations, but still got the old phone going here.
Fundage is necessary.
It is. I was just talking about Emmanuel Macron. Said some positive things about Putin. He had an appearance on a TV program over the weekend. And they were grilling him about his ties with Putin. So apparently Macron met with Putin, and he sort of takes Putin's side, stating that Putin is just wanting to restore the old Russian Empire. I don't think it's even that so much as Putin was wanting to stop NATO from amassing weapons on the border of Ukraine. I think that was the deal. That was the whole thing. Russian military operation of February 2022.
Well, I think really the game plan was to push Putin into a war with things like NATO expansion, nuclear weapons on their border and whatnot, in order to provoke Putin and his government into a war in Ukraine. And then that war in Ukraine would be used to solidify the rest of the international community around crippling, unprecedented economic sanctions that would lead to an overthrow of the Russian government. So Macron, the restoration of the old Soviet empire, that's not on the table. And I don't think that Putin would even want a lot of Western Ukraine, because these would be problem places for him. He would have millions and millions of problem people that he'd have to deal with internally. Not that Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico are trying to ally themselves with a foreign government in order to overthrow the United States government. Still, if you had your choice, would you just assume Puerto Rico be independent? Or do you want to keep them in the, part of the American, the United States of America?
Right. So, yeah, within the power of America, you have some sort of control.
Well, anyway, so Macron, I think what he was saying, he was saying that Putin is nice. He seems rational. Like, when you meet him, he's polite and everything like that. And of course, right? The thing is, the Western media has painted him into some sort of villain, the way they never did this to Cold War era Soviet leaders. They didn't paint Khrushchev or Brezhnev as monsters. There was never anything like this. But, if you, especially the liberal normie media, I see it through Microsoft Network or Yahoo. When I'm turning on my computer, I see these. You'll never guess what Putin did this time. This type of clickbaity kind of headline, and then linking to an article saying that Putin is desperate, that he's he's isolated, that his own government fears him or doesn't like him, and all this stuff, which is complete rubbish. There's not a shred of truth to it. They're not worried that they're losing. They're well, okay, break time.
Go back to the start of the book.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
And then we do talking about McClellan's take on Putin. I wanted to just, before we go to callers, just talk about John and Mary Smith's Q's public, John Q Normie's opinion on the whole war in Ukraine. As you're out and about and you talk to people about this, they're fed up with it. They don't think Russia's wrong. And these are mainly right wing, salt of the earth that you're talking to here. Even a lot of leftists are just kind of tired of this whole thing. There's not a lot of support for this on either side, what I've noticed when you're out and about. Especially if, let's say you're at the gas pump or you're buying something at the hardware store and the price has noticeably went up. So if you make a comment like, well, at least, you know, we're sticking to Putin, it's all for the war in Ukraine, then they'll roll their eyes and they'll say, yeah, that, and they understand that this is all crap, that we're suffering needlessly because of, once again, the United States is getting into involved in conflict that it doesn't belong, and it's imposing hardships on the American public that shouldn't be. I've noticed that I was out about talking to people. Have you noticed anything like that, Patrick?
I don't know. I did notice, like, honestly, when I'm out in the public, I'm often just on business, and I want to keep business and politics separate. Although, if somebody gives me an opening, and I feel I can say things without without spoiling it, then I'll go off. I'll go off. Boy, will I go off. But I did notice in one of the articles you sent for PrEP regarding the gubernatorial candidates for Kentucky that there's one perennial candidate. Well, what was his name? And he's a Democrat. And he was running for, I guess he was running for Congress last cycle. And Governor Beshear and the Democratic Party refused to support him because he's saying that we shouldn't be doing this war in Ukraine. Jeff Young. There you go. Good on him. Although, of course, his reason is because, Ukraine is Nazis. They're Nazis. And, of course, really, I think Zelensky, last time I checked, he was a Jew and not a Nazi. But whatever.
But they literally are, neo-Nazis. They have...
There are. I mean, there are people with swastikas tattooed on them who are, early on in the war at least, had a pretty high profile in these Ukrainian militias. And the point I made back then, a year ago, was just because you've got a swastika tattooed on your scalp doesn't necessarily mean you're the good guy.
Right. We say neo-Nazis. I mean, what even is a neo-Nazi? They're just using it as a, you know, how the federal government in the United States funds right-wing groups that use swastikas and they say they're white supremacists or whatever, and they use that to entrap right-wingers into doing stupid things. The Ukrainian Nazi thing, I mean, that is that on steroids. And it all has to do with how, you know, Nazis versus Russians in World War II. It has to do with that imagery. They're not putting swastikas on their bodies or on their flags, and they're not doing that because they support National Socialism of the Third Reich. They're anti-Russian, and they're pro-Ukrainian, which really means pro-Jewish. They're pro-Jewish, government-funded, supposed right-wing ops to get people to fight Ukraine.
I mean, it's weird enough that the concept of Christian Zionism is weird enough, but the concept of neo-Nazi Zionism is like, there goes my whole brain.
I think that you could probably find, if the neo-Nazis in Ukraine were to immigrate over here, they would probably join the Christian Zionist churches. You would see Christian Zionists and Nazi flags, like a sea of people.
And not in a good way. whereas, have you seen Kanye West, the Ye 24, the branding he's got for that, the design?
I've seen some memes on that.
Well, yay, the Y and the E, he's got the vertical of the vertical line in the E merged with the what is a vertical line in kind of a blockish style Y, and then if you tilt it on 45 degrees, it looks rather similar to a swastika. It looks like kind of a dyslexic swastika, like the kind of swastika that a dyslexic Jewish college student might spray paint on her own door, right? Looks kind of like that. Then he's got the 24 kind of in a similar style. And honestly, I didn't recognize it as 24 because it looks like the Korean letters for row, no. But eventually I realized it was 24. But that's pretty, it's pretty neat. The yay thing is pretty neat. I'm just saying, aesthetically.
I think it's going to be good entertainment if that progresses. I think it's it'll be
yeah.
System interruption.
It's going to be more than entertainment. It's going to be really, really constructive entertainment. I don't think you need to look at it as electioneering per se, but I think it's going to, I think it has a lot of potential. I've been hyping it. Yay has been in some sort of self-imposed isolation. Apparently he was spotted in church last weekend, but there had been rumors that he was killed, which I don't think can be taken seriously. I think he'll be back out, and I think we'll have more fun with Ye.
Anything that disrupts the system, I'm all for. And yeah, this is a disruptor, it looks like.
All right. Because
the system needs to collapse. It really does. It needs to collapse. We're never going to rebuild anything better as long as the current paradigm is in place. So
it needs to be collapsed or go through some sort of massive shock. Something traumatic needs to happen to the system.
Let's check the call screen. We may have some selected callers. Let's see if we got Joe in Florida. Do we have Joe?
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Patrick. Yes. Thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year, Joe.
Thank you. You know, for me, the big news, under the radar news that I'm thrilled about, although it's certainly not really got much publicity, it seems clear to me that Dr. David Duke is a Roman Catholic now. Now, I'm not going to make too big a deal of it because he was on a show the other night on another network, and he didn't specifically, you know, Dr. E. Michael Jones sort of hinted at it, and then Dr. Duke was confronted. He was just asked on that show on another network on the weekend. He didn't deny it. For some reason, he doesn't necessarily want to be as public about it, maybe, which is, I can maybe understand, because he doesn't want to alienate people who might also still be Protestant. But anyway, that was good news for me. Yeah. I guess I could say thanks be to God for that. And I was thrilled about it. Yeah.
I actually, that was on Dave Gahari's show Sunday night. And I actually tuned into that because sometimes it's more fun to listen to David Duke talk on somebody else's show when I'm not on the show. So it's a little more fun sometimes. So I was listening to that, and you know, his father, I think, taught Sunday school. It wasn't at a Catholic church, and I don't think he's undergone any sort of formal conversion or confirmation or anything. He's certainly Christian.
Absolutely.
And he's probably, he's Christian, and he's somebody with his own ideas, and so it might be really
right. I respect his I'm sorry. I was saying I respect his right to, if he wants to, quibble about it. But it sounds pretty clear to me that maybe he's on that road. Maybe you're next, Patrick. But I'm pumped.
The thing is, like I was married in a Catholic church. I was baptized, so I've got right. a background, but
yeah,
I'm just not really religious enough to in front of people like you and Jeremy who are Christians and it means a lot to them. I'm not going to act like I'm any kind of real Christian who has accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Although that could happen, you know, honestly, that could happen. Looking around, that could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're holding out for you. And my thought is it's most likely to happen, but it's important also, you know, baptism is eternal. In the Catholic Church, if you are baptized Catholic, you are always, that baptism never goes away. But I don't want to get secular disagreements because I think we all actually are kind of on the same page. Even Dr. Dewey, I just want to say one other thing was, I think that we have great, I have a great suggestion for you for bumper music that you're going to love. Hold on 1 second, just 3 seconds of it. Now that's Al Jolson singing Chinatown, Patrick.
Oh.
Al Jolson, it's on YouTube. Check it out. Al Jolson, Chinatown, My Chinatown. This way you can never, ever be accused of practicing anti-cicadaism in your bumper music choices.
Okay. The one I have is a relatively recent recording by some band in Serbia.
Yeah.
It's a
Serbia. I love that. Yeah, that's a great, I see that on YouTube. That is a great version. I've become a big fan of that song because of your show. And I love that one, but I thought this was great. I found Al Jolson singing, who was really a very talented person. Great singer, really. But I might combine all so you can combat any charges of anti-cicadaism that might come your way. You know, you put Al Jolson on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I have a lot of, there's a lot of Jewish musicians that I have a high regard for. Artie Shaw, the band leader. Yeah. I mean, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's great. Anyway, Happy New Year to both of you guys. And here's a good wishes for a great new year. I think there's hopeful things. Oh, I was just saying one last thing. I'm a little concerned right now. I saw an RT. I don't know if you saw this report. So RT has reported that Ukraine is already really psychopaths. This Zelensky war criminal is really sick. That they've actually gone into disinterred bodies from graves. And then, it's so disgusting, I can barely say it, like mutilated the bodies and put them in a fake, false grave. And they're actually planning a big, huge false flag to blame on Russians. So I want to be wary of that because it seems like they might get very desperate, the Ukrainians and the Zio-Anglo-American mafia that are trying to push this war. They might get very desperate now that it seems clear that they're completely failing. And it might be a moment where they pull off a really despicable false flag as a final thing. So I'm praying that that gets exposed, but we should be on the lookout for that. I don't know if you saw that RT report. Did you?
No, I didn't.
No, but I mean, that false flags, you know, the Syrian fake gas attacks, that, I mean, those were pretty transparent. It would be surprising if they don't try some sort of false flag.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I was just saying, the other night I was watching this thing called Maidan Massacre. It's on Tubi. It's actually a pretty good documentary from back in 2013, the events in Maidan and that whole disaster. And they had a clip in there, which I totally forgot about. It was a very brief clip, and I remember seeing it on mainstream media, which was allegedly snipers shooting from a building at that time, and they were attempting to portray this, I don't know, were they as if they were Russians. But it made me think, even back in 2014, these Ukrainian hoaxers and the Jewish mobsters that are behind them, like Victoria Nuland, they've been using false flag video propaganda, total propaganda, for many, many years. This war, from Bucha to, the shooting down the planes and the island and the ghost of whatever. I mean, it's been nothing but a series of completely propagandistic, like video clips that are totally fake. So I was amazed. I don't know if you saw that documentary, Maidan Massacre, and I'm surprised that it was actually pretty fair. And they sort of, even before any of the war started, they were already using these outrageous, the CIA, of course, using these techniques to propagandize people, completely fictitious versions of events. If you happen to see check it out.
I'm not sure if I've seen that. I've heard of it, and I've heard the Jewish side of this whole thing about the Maidan massacre. But there's this this captured telephone call. It's captured more or less the same time as Victoria Nuland's telephone call, and this captured telephone call was between Catherine Ashdown, who's the at the time was, she's from Britain, and she was the equivalent to the EU foreign minister. And she was speaking on the cell phone to the foreign minister of Estonia. His last name is Pait or something. I don't speak Estonian.
Right.
But the Estonian foreign minister told Catherine Ashdown that they have information that there were snipers at Maidan shooting at both sides. And Catherine Ashdown appeared to be surprised by that. And she said something like, well, that changes things, or something along those lines.
Right.
And so who were they? Who were these people shooting at both sides?
Exactly. Yeah, actually, in that documentary, they actually do that point, get to that point, because it seems clear they had some good experts there saying, in Maidan at that moment, there were shooters, that seemed to be shooting at the police, and then at the protesters also, but they weren't professional shooters. They weren't snipers. They were just like people, like mercenaries that had been brought in, because they also like disappeared. And like, who were these people? They weren't on either side, but they were shooting and killing people in the middle of that. Well, that sounds like the same exact sort of group of, the right battalion or the Azov battalion. It's like those people are put in there by the Ukrainians. And, are they really Nazis? I mean, they're kind of like neo-Nazis. They're kind of like whatever. But they're not like, And they're somehow just in there to cause trouble. I mean, I never seen Zelensky openly saying, we support the neo-Nazis who are killing people, right? They want to be able to use psychopaths. In this case, these kind of neo-Nazi people, just to really cause real conflict, and then, claim one side, to one side that they're being shot at by a certain group, and to the other side, claim that the other people are shooting at them. It is that old Jewish thing, I'll hold your coat while you guys fight it out.
Yeah, it's similar. Isn't it similar to how Israel supports ISIS? I mean, the ISIS extreme Muslims and the neo-Nazis and the Azov, both of those groups, probably the same people. I mean, only the neo-Nazis might be wider, I guess. But it's the same type of thing. Israel supports ISIS. That's well known.
Exactly. And I also noticed, that's a very good point. It reminds me, Dmitry Lavrov this week put out a statement, and he said about these Nazis in Ukraine in this conflict. He says he's very convinced that, some of them will be killed, but that the CIA and the sort of intelligence agencies that run them, Mossad and the CIA, are going to use them again. They'll save a core of these kind of psychopaths that go in and just shoot and kill people and viciously torture them, commit war crimes. He said that he thinks that they will be used in other countries in Europe after all this conflict is over. I can see that. I can see them putting them into Poland, or I can see them putting them maybe right into Russia. It's a dangerous, but it's a tactic. It's a tactic that these psychopath Jews use in all their wars.
Yeah, it would be easy to see, the Azov neo-Nazi type people to let them infiltrate legitimate right-wing oppositions in Europe to try to make them look bad, you know?
Right. Yeah, like maybe in Hungary or places where there's conservative sort of, you know, populations, maybe they want to be able to do that. That's a good, and I never thought of that analogy. That's great. It's true about ISIS. It's like, who is ISIS, right? Muslim people didn't recognize ISIS. They're just like, interesting how ISIS people, you know, they're always covered completely with their faces. I heard somebody say if they had taken off their hoods, they would see they're from Malaysia. I mean, they may be Muslim, but they're certainly not like from Syria, you know, where they're pretending to be from Syria.
According to CIA analyses or whatever, CIA findings at the time, something like 85 to 90% were foreigners. And they were entering, I think at least 90% were foreigners, and they were entering Syria primarily through Turkey and Jordan. And Turkey, of course, was a NATO country. Jordan is practically a U.S. satellite. You know, it's kind of an Israeli U.S. protectorate. So, if the United States really didn't want these people, if they really opposed ISIS, they were in a position at least to lean on their close satellites, in Jordan in particular, but Turkey at the time as well, to not let them in. They're crossing land borders.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it all sort of, when you put the pieces of the puzzle together, it makes sense in its own demented way.
Yeah, and I do see the parallel with these so-called Nazis. I mean, they are Nazis, but I mean, they're not, you know, they're not like a state. They're just like mercenaries that are psychopaths, really, because those are the people in Ukraine that are literally torturing and committing war crimes against Russian soldiers. They're like killing people for fun. They're psychopaths, you know? I mean, I hate to say it, but they give Nazis a bad name.
Yeah, no, a traditional National Socialist would not hold any values with these people. They would not hold any
not that I'm under any delusions that Nazis from Germany in the 40s were, you know, saints. But, I mean, these are just like, this is like a caricature, you know, and it's a very useful tool because, oh, my goodness, we're, you know, Nazis, you know, we have to, you know, do whatever we can. Meanwhile, gee whiz. Did we get another billion? I think since I started talking on this call, Joe Biden's had another $50 billion to Ukraine, right? To help these Nazis or whoever, the Jewish people that are running it.
Yeah, we're well over $100 billion.
Yeah, but I mean, the last 10 minutes, there's probably another few billion that went out. I mean, you have to laugh at this because it's so sickening, you know?
Thanks, Joe.
But I do hope... Thanks a lot, guys, and Happy New Year. Great, great show as usual. Talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, that's a wrap on the show. We'll have to cover the rest of it on Patrick and Jeremy Part 2 on National Bugle Radio, 1 p.m. Central on RBN. So you guys stay tuned. Patrick, thanks a lot. Stay classy, my friend.
It's a struggle, but I'll try.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.